All right, what's up, everybody, brothers and sisters? We got brother Dan Allen out of Local 3 Operators. So with that, Dan, let's go ahead and just kind of introduce yourself, man, and how you found yourself becoming an operator.
Yeah, my name is Dan from, like you said, Local 3 up here in San Francisco Bay Area. Been an operator for almost 24 years. How I got in, it's kind of funny. I grew up skateboarding, surfing, snowboarding, stuff like that. Thought I was going to be a pro at one of those.
Oh, yeah.
Ended up not being good enough, you know, got hurt. And my parents took me out of school kind of to do that, like in junior high school. And also because I used to like to get in fights. So I was into fighting, so they pulled me out of school. I did independent studies. And after I got hurt, my dad, who was in the trades too.
So you're generational, Dan.
Yeah. Okay. So, said, hey, you know, if this is, you're not going to go to college, you don't want to do any of that, you're going to work. So I started working with a friend of the family. You know, it was a mom and pop shop when I was about a little after 15, almost 16, actually. And when I turned 18, you know, they all said, join the union. So did my dad. You know, he was in the union. Got in when I was 18. So got fortunate on that.
Damn, man. You're one of them, dude. So, yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, at the time, you don't realize the opportunity you're getting, you know, and how many people struggle. Because as much as it's not that hard to get in, really, but it is on the, it, you know, it's one of those.
Oh, yeah. Lines.
It's all, you know, it really helps on who you know. But, you know, the unions made it really fair, pretty easy just to go in, you know, if the books are open, you can get in, sign up, and join the apprenticeship.
Yeah, absolutely. Like nowadays, Dan, I mean, I'm sure you can attest down in the San Francisco area, man. There's not enough tradesmen to do the work, right? So
no,
I can only imagine.
I mean, especially now, people don't want to do it. You know, it seems like, you know, they think it's, you know, it's funny how many people think we don't make enough. We don't make anything, you know, we're unskilled. It's, you know, for the most part, people that are going to college, getting a degree and whatever they're getting, you know, not knocking them, but it's like they come out without a job, you know, they're living at home.
100%. So.
Yeah,
like as you got in, man, you went through your apprenticeship. Did you start on cranes or did you have to work your way up doing like heavy machinery, bulldozers, back excavators, that kind of stuff? Or did you go straight into cranes?
I started because the friend of the family that I was working with before I turned 18, it was a crane company. It's kind of a general engineering, but they had like a boom truck, a couple little cranes. So I was able to mess around in the yard and mess stuff up, which I did.
Hell yeah.
And then, when I got into the apprenticeship, you know, 4-year apprenticeship, I got right into cranes and I started out on the ground, oiling, beating pins, getting yelled at. And I think that's where everybody needs to start, from the ground up, no matter if you want to do tower cranes, crawlers, mobiles, you know, it's just, not only does it teach you the ins and outs, right, of how the cranes go together, how they work, you know, it gives you a whole nother mindset besides just pulling levers. You know, that's pretty much the last part. But it teaches you a huge responsibility, you know, getting yelled at, you know, being accountable, you know, you know, when you mess up, you know, somebody's going to give you some shit, you know? So it's good. You know, I appreciate, I still run all those cranes, you know, I'm kind of stuck in towers as it is now, but you know, I think everybody needs to start on the ground and you know, learn rigging, learn signals, learn how to put the cranes together. You know?
Yeah. I mean, like that's, I 100% agree with you on that, Dan. Cause I mean, obviously, if you don't know what you're running, dude, you're going to run into all kinds of problems right off the bat. Cause you don't know what the fuck you're doing. Right.
Right. And I mean, there is a certain level of, fake it till you make it, you know, it's like, never.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Obviously. Yeah.
Just have that, you know, initiative. Oh, yeah. Like I'll do it, you know, I'll figure it out. You know, I was in cranes, you know, and calling people, how do you start this thing in the beginning? You know, it's like, but I can do it, you know?
Oh yeah.
You know, it's just, you can tell who's got that want.
Yeah.
Know? Especially when you've got new guys coming up, apprentices.
Yep.
You can tell who wants to learn, you know, nobody's born in the seat, you know? So it's same with ironworkers, you know, you could tell who gives a shit and who's just in it just to like skate by, you know what I mean?
Oh yeah. 100%, bro. And so like, with that being said, Dan, so like, finding yourself working with like little hydros, and then you find yourself working with crawlers, and like, how did you find yourself like wanting, or did you want to become a tower crane operator, or is that just kind of something that an opportunity that fell into your lap?
Both. Like when I was really, you know, really young, like 15, 16, and I didn't really know anything about cranes.
Yeah.
You know, most people, when you hear cranes, they think of tower cranes, you know, just the things you see in the city, you know, they don't really think about, you know, the boom trucks, the mobile, the little 70s and stuff like that, all the other ones. So
yeah,
I was okay. The carry decks.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, the hardest crane to run is a boom truck, you know, with a jib on it. I mean, that's the hardest crane. I don't care who you are. Still is. But yeah, so I started out, like I said, oiling. I got fortunate enough, besides getting in there, to oil and come up under some really good guys. Like one of them was Bill Algers from Brad. Yeah. He's retired now, but I always said if I could remember the shit he forgot, I'd be set for life. He just, any crane, rigging it in, rigging it out, he just knew. Brand new cranes, it's like, he didn't even seem like he went home and read the manual, you know, just, that's how he was. But he was the type of guy, he'd yell at you and go turn those blocks out, you know, turn those blocks on six, whatever. And he'd smile at whoever's standing next to him while you're running off there.
Oh,
but
yeah,
if you just kept your mouth shut, you know, and worked hard, he'd buy you a beer at the end of the day. So,
yeah,
I got
those
I got
the kind of things like you can work around, man. You know, shit's not going to go south, right? He, you know, that he knows what he's doing. And so, like, you can get the work done safely and efficiently, I would assume. I mean, that's what I would assume.
Well, yeah. And that's it. You know, it's still construction. So stuff happens. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes.
But we always came home safe and we always got it done. And he like I said, he taught us that, that real, like, not, I guess it's called, you know, workmanship, but like, you know, like, taking pride in your work. Yeah, exactly. You know, and this is what you're here to do. If this is going to be your trade, be the best at it, you know?
100%.
So yeah, I'm very fortunate.
And then, so like getting into a tower, your first tower, what was that like?
I was scared, you know, cause you don't realize the movement for one. Yeah. For two, it was another kind of like, oh yeah, I can do that. Sure. You know, I've, you know, run all these other cranes on the ground. And you get up, you know, halfway up, you're like, oh man, what did I get myself into? You know?
So it is that much of a difference, Dan. I mean,
it's a huge difference.
Okay.
You know, I mean, like for starters, the movement, you know what I mean? Like if you've ever been on like, you know, large hydro with the jib on it and all that deflection you're getting. So go sit at the top of that and you're just all over the, you know, you're fighting the wind, you're fighting the movement. And it's like anything, the good guys, it doesn't look like they're doing anything. You know, it's just the crane sitting there. You're fighting the wind. You're constantly up there doing something.
Yeah.
And then, you know, all that, it's hard to explain, but you're coming up on a heavy load. You're getting that deflection. Everything's, you don't hear it on the ground. Doom, doom, doom. All your pendant bars, all your, everything, all the steel contracting. You feel it. You're moving. So, and when you're sitting, you know, in a crawler or whatever, you're looking up at everything. You kind of got to scale the building like hanging iron.
Yeah.
When you're up, you know, however many floors and looking down, everything's kind of flat. So it's a whole new viewpoint. You got it. You can't tell at first if you're 20 feet above their head or on them.
Yeah. And that's a great point. I guess I never thought of it like that, Dan, you know what I mean? Like obviously you're sitting in a cab down on the ground, you know what I mean? You're working in the blind, you know, a lot of times and shit like that, you know what I mean? And but just working from the seat down on the ground compared to looking down, looking at a flat perspective is, that's a great point.
Especially hanging iron too. Like when you're hanging iron, all the decking of the pan decking, you're looking up at it, right? So that's one thing. But when you're in a tower and it's sunny, you're getting all that glare coming right off. I mean, I get a tan real quick. You know, it's hard to see them. So there's all kinds of little, it's the same, but it's totally different.
Yeah. I mean, like, so like just speaking on movement, I mean, I had the opportunity of working, you know, on towers, like erecting and dismantling and stuff. You know what I mean? When we detorqued, you know, the night before the teardown and stuff, man, like having the operator up there and just being on that tower, dude. I mean, like, I can only imagine what that's like, right? Because, I mean, I got a little bit of it, but sitting in the seat when you're carrying heavy-ass loads, man, that it puckered my ass a few times, man, to be honest with you.
And that's it. And, like, you know, when you're rigging them in, tearing them down, jumping them, jacking them down, whatever, you know, you're definitely feeling the movement.
Yeah.
But it's you know, as long as everything goes right, it's nothing compared to what it is like duty cycle, you know, hanging iron or something like that, because you're, you know, depending on the crane, you're coming in, you're counter swinging, you're back plugging it, you're, everything's moving. Everything, it's just, at first, you know, it's kind of like when you go like fishing on a party boat on the ocean, you know, the first few months you kind of get off, you're like, oh man, you know, you got to get your sea legs a little bit.
Hell yeah. So with that being said, Dan, so like you found yourself, did you start off with like freestanding, or did you go straight into, climbing tower cranes?
No, first was freestanding. I mean, granted, you know, most of them are freestanding, you know what I mean? I mean, even when they're tied in, a lot of them don't climb, you know what I mean?
Okay. Gotcha.
But, and honestly, the freestanding ones, they're the hardest to run because they're not tied in. So you're getting a lot of that movement.
Yeah.
Even when we're jumping these cranes, as soon as we get that first tie-in or the next tie-in wherever we're at in the building, it's just not only you get that, oh, okay, we're
like, it rigids it up.
Oh, yeah. It's just now you're running, you know, if you're 5-6 sessions above the tie-in, you know, you're running a 100-foot crane, you know, whatever it is. So rather than running 315 freestanding, you know, we did the job out Samsung's new headquarters. I don't know, it was probably 10, 12 years ago. In by Great America, Milpitas, San Jose there.
Okay.
And that was freestanding 315 feet. And we had, you know, one of the best iron hangers, you know, in a crawler that there is, Liam Byerly. He was down below in the hole. And his oiler, Devin, who's in the seat by himself now too, I mean, one of the best too, climbed up one day. He's like, oh, forget this, man. He didn't want no part of it. You know, they just, you don't realize, you know, you're moving 6-7 feet, maybe more, side to side, you know.
Hell yeah, bro. And that's the thing too, man. Like I guess I didn't realize that either, that some free our climbers just, they don't ever climb, you know what I mean? I guess because every time I work for the tower outfit up here, man, they just pretty much did freestanding. It was never really tied into anything. It was just but with that being said, Dan, so like, when was your first experience hanging iron? I mean, what was that like for you? I would assume it'd be nerve-wracking, you know, working with, especially if the raising gang was, you know, halfway decent, man. They obviously expect an operator to get them the iron at least close, you know what I mean? So how was that for you?
So, like I said, I started out mobile cranes, crawler, stuff like that. So I kind of had a foot in the door because I was on these jobs already.
Okay.
So getting to know the gang, and you know, like I said, they could see who's worth the shit and who's not.
Yeah.
In both trades, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're a good oiler for your operator, you know, you're cleaning the rig, you're not on your phone or whatever. You know, back then we didn't really have cell phones, but you know, like, you know, you're getting him lunch, you're gonna get seat time, right? And he'll tell, hey, you know, Dan's getting the seat, right? Like, give him shit, but you know, he's gonna fuck up, you know.
Yep.
So, sorry, I don't know if I'm supposed to cuss in here.
It's all good. It's all good.
So I had that, but I remember my first, the first job I ever hung iron, it was just a little like 4-story penthouse. And it was like with a old 70-ton truck crane.
Okay.
And, but good connect, good gang. Right. And I was scared, you know, all these guys are going to eat me up alive. Right. And I just, you know, I just took it slow, you know, like my, you know, all these old school guys, you know, slow as fast, smooth as fast, you know, of course, when you're, you know, whatever, 1920, you want to haul ass, you know, you want to show everybody what's up, you know, it just doesn't work like that, especially, you know, when you're treeing iron, you know.
Yep.
Every tail you got on there, you know, is a hinge point. So, you know, you just can't swing it and cast it out there and it's going to, every piece is going to be going different directions.
Yeah,
no, so
it's just going to be perfect.
Yeah. You got to ride that wave and learn how to time everything and every crane's different. Like you can get on the same brand and, you know, type of tower crane. You can get on 5 of them and they're all going to run different. They're all set up different. It's just like your car. So,
yeah. So it's kind of like you got to get in work shape, man. You can't just be sitting on the couch for 3 weeks and go out and get up on the iron and think you're going to be moving around like fucking Superman.
No, and even, you know, with tower cranes, especially because, you know, on a lot of crawler jobs, iron jobs, you might be out there a couple months, you know, longer on the bigger ones. Sometimes you're out there a few weeks, depending on the job. And that's what you're doing. With tower cranes, which is one of the reasons I kind of got into it, I didn't really touch on it, but I got tired of, like, you know, with crane rental, you're working out of the yard every day. If you're not on an iron job, you're running a 70 one day, you know, maybe a 265 the next day or what, just, you don't know if you're working the next day. So it's hard to kind of plan a future and you start having kids and whatever you're doing. Like, am I working tomorrow? Am I doing this? With tower cranes, you're on a job for a year, 2 years, sometimes more. Yeah. So you can kind of plan. I know where I'm going to work every day. You kind of schedule around it, you know, and that's really beneficial with the amount of hours we put in to just be able to have somewhat of a schedule. But I kind of went off. What was your question again? Sorry.
No, it's all good, brother. And speaking of that, Dan, so like you talked about, like, man, it's like every trade. If somebody sees that you're a hand, dude, they're gonna right. you're gonna more likely to get taught more, or like get put in position. So is that, I'm assuming, like with the tower crane operator, man, if you're a work-wise tower crane operator, they're gonna put you in these jobs that last longer and things like that, right? Is that kind
of and it's just like anything, you know, whether you're a crawler hand, you know, like I mentioned Liam earlier. If there's one iron job going on in the Bay Area and it's a crawler job, he's on it. Like, and it's all on your, once you get the time in, you know, you meet everybody and you show you're not dangerous, but you're going to run that crane 100% and get that piece count.
Yeah.
They're going to want you on every job. So it's your reputation, you know, and absolutely. It's just like iron workers, you know, whether you're 433 or, you know, 377, 378, whatever, like it's a small industry. And then when you get into cranes, it's smaller. And then even tower cranes, it's even smaller. Cause if you figure, if you're on a big 2 year job, whatever, 40 story higher, right, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
You've got X amount of all different trades, plumbers, electricians, you know, iron workers, you know, 200, 300, 500 guys on the job site. And you got one tower crane operator, maybe two, you know, if it's a bigger job, whatever.
Yeah.
So everybody knows everybody. Everybody, you know, everybody's talking shit. Everybody, you know.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Good news travels fast, bad news travels faster. So it's like,
hell yeah.
It's one of those things, you know?
So like kind of get more into like the relationship between iron workers and operators, Dan.
Yeah.
So like how's that relationship been with you, man? Like, just hanging iron with the gangs, obviously you've been doing it for 24 years. You've built those relationships, man. So how has that been for you? Like working with the iron workers through your career?
It's been great by far. They're, my favorite trade to work with by far. I mean, is it
because of like how we work with cranes and things like that, Dan, or is it the personality? What is it?
All of it, you know, all of it, because I think, you know, obviously being an iron worker is not easy. I mean, it's the hardest job out there. You know, we've got, you know, a lot of mental stress up there. You know, you got a tree hanging over everybody's head. It's like one thing happens, it's all bad, you know, but you know, the physical and just the dedication it takes, you know, like say, being a connector or something, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter. Rebar. I mean, you couldn't get me out there tying rebar to save my life. You know, it's like, that's hard work.
Yeah.
You know,
I wouldn't be able to go do it nowadays myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But like I said, they're my favorite trade to work with. Because if they're in the position that they're in to, you know, connecting or phoning or whatever, you know, working with the crane, they paid their time, they know, or they're, you know, even if they're apprentice, they're coming up, somebody's watching them, they want to learn, you know, they've shown the initiative to get there. So the signals are the best. You know, I can close my eyes, my phone man's running the crane.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like, it takes that stress off. Whereas when you're working with other trades, you know, especially in the blind and stuff, it's like, you're getting all kinds of different signals. You don't know what they want. It's just like, it's stressful, man. And then you're watching their rig and you got to correct everything they're doing. Iron workers, it's like, it's a big relief, man. You know?
Yeah. So yeah, I would 100% agree with you on that, Dan, because most other trades that I work with, they don't have the confidence of when the rigging process, you know what I mean? They always tip in my situation or my experience that they always call the iron workers when they got some critical pick that they need to figure out because they can't figure it out.
Right. And it's just like, you know, it's not knocking the other trades. Just they don't do it. They don't do it every day. You know,
And it's not knocking whatsoever. That's what we do. You know what I mean?
Right. And there's a big difference between, you know, setting whether it's hanging iron, you know, one piece, you know, hanging it derrick style or treeing it, doesn't matter. Setting a big box car, you know, on the roof. There's a big difference between that and flying up some 2x4s or some plywood. You know what I mean? And trapping your chokers every time you land it. You know what I mean? It's like, there's a big difference, you know? So
Yeah, man, we can talk about that days, man. I've seen some of the just
it's frustrating, yeah. Man. And like, I used to be a lot worse when I was younger, you know. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I've mellowed out. Those are
the
old
Indian tricks that you pick up from the JIWs, man. That have been, you know what I mean. They see that you're willing to learn.
I'm telling you, when it comes to like, I mean, I've picked up stuff from every trade I've worked with. You know, I still pick up stuff. You know what I mean? There's still stuff, you know, hanging iron or certain things like that, or especially like, you know, jumping the cranes. Like we, pretty much the company I work for, we have our set gang of guys, our crew of guys that jump them and or jack them down, put them up. You know, so we kind of go where, you know, a few weeks we're going out to Salt Lake City to take down the crane that's out there. It's actually the tallest building in Utah, the Astro Tower. So it's pretty cool. So
yeah, isn't that a shout out to Blue Collar Dad?
Yeah, bro.
He's always on.
Yeah, he'll be out there. So yeah,
he's my man. I love his stuff too, man. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, yeah, so yeah, sure. That's pretty badass.
Yeah, so we have, you know, we got the same gang of guys pretty much that do that, and that's also, you know, like Dave Boaz is you know the iron worker foreman. He runs that show. And
you ever
like,
worked with Getty Dye by chance, Dan?
I have not. I know who it is, but I haven't worked with him.
Oh, yeah. What about, I mean, you know, not to bring up, you know, old past stuff, but were you ever able to work with Travis and Yoder when they were working for Northwest Tower Crane?
I never worked with them, but I knew them from up there. Oh, and, yeah. You know, those Seattle guys and stuff, it's like, I was in Japan when that happened, and it broke my heart. Yeah, it's, like yeah. I said, I mean, you know, it's a small no. world, iron workers, crane operators, all that. So
yeah,
that, yeah, it's still sad, man.
But yeah. So like, speaking of that, cause I worked with Travis quite a bit, you know what I mean? And he told me about when that Wolf crane that was down in downtown San Francisco was like 1500 feet in the air. Can you talk about that a little bit, Dan? Were you a part of that? Or do you know who?
I wasn't a part of that, but that, yeah, 700 Wolf Leffer, nice crane. The thing that's good about those Wolves is when you're jacking them, you know, you're climbing them, it's a single stroking ram. So like on most, you know, whether it's, you know, a Potain or a Piner or whatever, you got like four strokes each cylinder. So
yeah,
jack up, retract, you know,
yeah,
that it's single stroke. So it's quick, you know, it's, they're badass rigs. There's actually one rigged in right now, another 700 in South San Francisco right now on an iron job. So it's cool. Yeah. I wasn't a part of that. I wanted to be, but
yeah, that's different badass. Company. So yeah. Like, speaking of like climbing a tower crane, Dan, what's that like doing that process, man, when you're adding sections to a tower? Cause I mean, I look at that dude and when I first saw that, I mean, I was like, holy shit, how is that even working? So what's that like to do that?
So I get asked that a lot of time, you know, all the time, you know, people ask what I do. When people ask what I do a lot, I say, oh, construction, you know, cause I don't want to get into it.
Yeah.
Cause it's hard to explain. And they, you know, if they got a million questions, it's like, especially when it comes to like, they always go, well, how do they get up? How do they make them taller? Right.
Yeah.
And I try to explain it. It's really hard unless you see it or, you know, you watch one of those little YouTube like cartoons, you know, but, the first time I actually did it was in the city off Folsom Street. And it was kind of good. I didn't know what I didn't know. You know, I was just, you know, I want to say I lucked into it, but it's kind of one of those things, you know, you get to a certain place because
your
reputation, even if you haven't done it before, they're like, okay, you know, it's just, you're there for a reason. But knowing what I know now is probably the closest I've ever gone to going over in a tower crane when jumping them.
Yeah. So
we came out of the pockets for the first climb.
Yeah.
And the long story short, it wasn't the crane wasn't balanced and whoosh, everything went forward.
Oh, yeah.
It feels like it's never going to stop. It just keeps going and going. So at the time I was like, okay, this must be what it's like. I was scared of shit, but hindsight now I was like, oh man, you know, but
yeah, you don't know what you don't know.
Right. So, but, once you start doing it more and you see the process, you know, everything's a process, everything you have, there's the way to do it. You know what I mean? Like I'm not the best at explaining things, but It you have steps, every step, right? You don't want to skip any steps. And every building, every, you know, doing tie-ins and whatnot and stuff like that, every crane, their balance point, whether it's a luffer or hammerhead, they're all different. Like, I don't know how much you want to get into it, but like luffers, luffing tower cranes, they climb way better than, any hammerhead. And then, like, you got your flat top hammerheads.
Yes.
Like commonals, especially and stuff. They don't like climbing. They're moving all around. Your tower's bowed out like this. It's just, luffers are more stout. So, like, if you're going to climb one, climb a luffer, you know?
Gotcha. Yeah, because that makes sense. I mean, looking at, you know, like I said, I never worked on a climbing tower crane, but, you know, and obviously not a luffer as well, man. But it just seems like it was a lot more beefier.
They are.
Because you had to transition at one point on the freestanding. You always transition to a smaller, smaller tower, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it's all engineering and everything, but a lot, you know, just like luffers, when you put them up freestanding, they can't go as tall as, you know, hammerheads and stuff because everything's beefy. There's so much more weight and everything and the reactions and all that stuff. So, but yeah, when we're climbing them, you know, you're going to get, when you're jumping them, you can't do it in any wind. You know what I mean? That when you're broadside, like in a hammerhead and that wind's coming at you, it's just, it's really bad. It's moving that whole climb, the whole crane around. Luffers, it'll do it too, but everything's more stout. The boom's up and down, you know, you definitely can feel the difference when you're up there, you know, and it matters with the crew, especially like when you're taking a crane down, like we're doing in Utah here coming up.
Yeah.
Pulling tie-ins, like when you're pulling the tie-in struts off.
Yeah.
That's like, probably for me now, that's like my worst, that's what I hate most about it. Because, you know, you put a test weight on to balance the crane, you know, and like I said, the crew we work with that do it all the time, they're some of the best, you know. Like when Dave, who runs the gang, retires, you know, stops doing it, it's like I don't want to do it anymore. You know, you're trusting with your life. One thing goes wrong up there, and we're all gone. You know, it's just it's one of those things. So it's, you know, you want somebody you trust, but like if that crane. I'll tell you, there's a video of it on my Instagram somewhere. We're pulling a strut. It's actually where I got my name, Twisty Tower. It's a twisty building, right? And that's where my kid came up with the name. But we're pulling one of the struts. And hindsight, when we put the crane up, we were surveying the last tie-in section.
Okay.
And I don't know if it was a new surveyor or what, but the iron workers were – and I know the iron workers. I mean, that were on there, they're – they know their shit. They was arguing back and forth with the surveyor. And it's like, you know, you're a quarter inch out, you're an inch out. And then you do what they tell them. And now it's just, everything was screwed up.
Oh man, I can only imagine.
Hours. Right. So then when we went to jack down a year later, whatever it was, you know, I'm hearing them, they're beating the pins forever on the building side. And you know, you can go on a tower crane, right. And stand at the bottom. It could be 300 foot freestanding. And take a nail, you know, a 16-penny nail, and tap on the base, and you'll hear it, feel it all the way at the top.
Yep.
So you can imagine a beater beating those pins out, boom, everything's shaking, and it's not coming out. And then, you know, you're adjusting things, you're doing what you got to do. And then I happen to be like, man, this is going to be, I just feel like it's going to be bad once I videoed it. And whoo, shit. I mean, they said
that stored energy. Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
When they got that pin out, and the crane went back, when it finally stopped shaking, which was, it's not an exaggeration, minutes later.
Yeah.
It was almost 2 feet out of plumb from where it was supposed to be, where they beat the pin out. So.
Holy shit, dude.
That was another one of those instances where I was like, oh man, we're going over backwards.
Yeah.
You know,
here it is. You know, here's the big one.
That's it. Like, I knew it was coming.
Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah, dude. So that, you know, just speaking of that, Dan, you know what I mean? Like all the safety stuff that obviously you have a lot of lives in your hands, man. A lot of shit can go wrong if your job goes wrong. Right. And so like, you know, a lot of times, you know, especially in my career, you know, hanging iron, you know what I mean? They would shut us down, but it's always been kind of like the operator will kind of call it off. Right. But when you get into like the tower crane guys, you know what I mean? You usually tend to, you know, I'm not trying to tell anybody see, but you push the limits a little bit more, man. Like, are you that kind of operator? I mean, like, obviously, you know, little cheat sheets and little cheat codes to get around things and things like that. Is that?
Well, I mean,
what do you say? No, this is, we're not doing anymore.
There's, you know, you got the game to it, right? There's always the game to it. You know?
Yeah.
you know, when I want to go home, 40 miles an hour is like 25. You know what I mean? So there's always that game, man. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, bro. You know, I just want to hear that. I want to hear that.
Hey, man, I'll get myself in trouble on here. No, there's always, look, the number one thing when you get in, and that's why I advise anybody coming up, like that wants to be any type of crane operator, do the apprenticeship, get in there. Because one of the number one things they tell you right off the bat is how they teach you how to say no, right? Because you got all these big superintendents and project managers and this and that, and they all want their bonuses and they want that building built yesterday. Yep. And it doesn't matter who they are. And this goes for iron workers too. Anything anybody can blame on the crane, that crew's gonna, you know, because it gets them out of whatever shit they've messed up yesterday or last week, right? Oh, the crane, oh, it's too windy, whatever, right? Yep. And I get it. I mean, that's like I said, there's a game to it.
Yep.
But, you know, it's happened on the job I'm on now, right? It's just like, and I guess I, you know, I'm used to it. Like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, it's just like, No, we're not doing it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And you gotta be like that nowadays, especially, it's not just, you know, the obvious, like, you got people's lives and you're, you know, all these connectors, all, you know, whoever. These guys bolting up, anybody who's working in that radius of that crane, you screw up. Now you're personally liable. You know, It's not like, you know, somebody drops something off the building, right? They're going to go off the contractor and this and that. Yeah. You're going to get drug tested. But with cranes, it's like, it's a whole nother level. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, that's your livelihood, right? So your certifications can be pulled, all kinds of shit. You can't. And you, even just, you know what I mean?
Even just for, you know, working like for with tower cranes, it always depends on the manufacturer, but more or less it's 40 miles an hour wind, right?
Yeah.
So you work in some place like San Francisco or whatever, and it's blown, you know, three times a week you're shutting down for wind.
Yeah.
And there's been guys that, you know, it's 50, 55 miles an hour and they're working. And like I said, it's a small world, or, you know, somebody's driving by and sees somebody. It's like, and there's guys get their certs pulled and they can't work, you know, or they got to move away, you know, and like, you know, start a new Instagram, you know, start a new life, you know? So it's, I mean.
So hell yeah. So kind of getting down to the next, like what I want to talk to you about, man, you started your Instagram page, bro. I love your stuff, man. I love like,
thank you,
your reels and shit, dude. Like, you know, the music that you use, like this old school, like this Cali feel, right? It's got this Cali feel.
And I listen to everything, man. And I get a lot of hate for the, you know,
no way, bro.
I get a lot of hate for music. I get a lot of hate. You know, some people are like, well, it's just work stuff. It's just worse. You know what? It's like, I think it's cool in a lot of ways. Like, it shows a light on the trades, you know, like on cranes, on iron workers, stuff like that. Like it's, you know, whether you admit it or not, it's they're kind of dying breeds. They're dying trades.
Yeah.
You know, the kids nowadays, they want to sit and play PlayStation and like TikTok all day, even though I'm on TikTok, but you know what I mean? Like,
have to show them that there's this you can go do, man.
And like Brock, right. The blue collar dad, you know?
Yeah.
You know how many people he's got from his videos and stuff and whatever he's done to join the union?
Yep.
You need to have him on. Like
I know. Maybe you can help set that up, Dan.
I can help it out. I'm sure he's texting. Like, I'll give you a list of people you gotta have on your podcast. But there's been he's got so many people, I mean, literally working for the same company. We both work for the same company, you know?
Yeah.
And not just that, but it's like, you know, some people are like, oh, this is just work, it's boring. But to a lot of people, it's not. And also, I like kind of like shining, you know, to the old dogs working or these new apprentices coming up.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, hey, look, let's, you know, you're good. You know, like, show it off. You know what I mean? Like, that's 100%. Just my opinion, you know, to each his own. Yeah.
No, and that's the whole point, Dan. So, like, you're organizing yourself. Like, to me, that's organizing. You're trying to recruit somebody who may not know that you can go do this. You're operating – you want to go operate a tower crane because, you know what I mean? That's just things you can do, and you're showing that and promoting it. And you know, and the other part of it too, Dan, a lot of people that I've noticed, they don't want to talk about being a union dues paying member, man. What would you say, like, to a kid about that, man, joining the union?
Well, first off, it's the best thing you could do. Like, I get in all kinds, you know, like, I'll sit at work and, like, when you're not an iron job or it's before, you know, you're in the hole or something, or it's after, there tends to be, it's just the nature of the beast. There is some downtime, you know what I mean? Yep. So like, I just, you know, I'll put some stuff on TikTok and it kind of blew up, you know, like, so I'll just sit up there and I'll troll with people, you know, like it passes the time. But the number one thing I get on there probably is like, oh, union, you pay to work, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you guys don't even understand. Like, it's not only are you going to make the most money, I mean, let's just call it what it is. Like, you're going to get the highest pay that you're getting regardless of your location, you know?
Yep.
And two, which is more important, I think, than even pay, because if you're not around, you're not going to make no money, right?
Yep.
It's the skill set you're getting, whether it's with cranes, with iron workers, all these other trades, laborers, carpenters, whatever, these union guys, you know, they're getting trained to the way to do it. Whereas a non-union, you go out there and just, I'll do the job, you know, they're going to hire the cheapest guy, or they're going to, you know, where do you think the prevailing wage gets set from? You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
so they'll sit there and take the prevailing wage, but then they'll bitch and moan and say, oh, you're paying for that. You know, it's like the union, you know, back when all the Irish guys were unloading ships, you know, they set this up for us. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, and we have it's a brotherhood. It really is. You know, it's like we have a leg to stand on. And, you know, I've got, as far as financially and everything, and not just financially, like all my friends and everything are all in the trades, you know, and it's like some of the best people I know, you know, so it's given me, you know, it has given me everything I've got, you know.
So yeah, I 100% agree with you, man. I would say exactly the same thing, Dan. It's done the same exact thing for me, man. And I still, some of the things I do see on Instagram and things like that, man, you want to, I mean, I'm not trying to get all political and all that bullshit, but it's just, why would you bite the hand that feeds you, right? You, like you said, you want all these benefits of the prevailing wage, right? You want the retirement, the health insurance and all that. But you know what I'm saying? Like, that's being a union member, right? A good union member.
Well, that's it. And I tell these guys, I said, look, you know, there's exceptions to every rule, right? Like,
yes.
I'm sure there could be some non-union guy out there in Tennessee or wherever he's at, who finagled his deal and getting, you know, making good money, company truck, you know, making way over what we make, over scale, whatever, right?
Yeah.
But that's few and far between. Yeah. What benefits do they have? What pension do they have? What annuity do they have? You know, back, I got two boys, you know, my oldest one just turned 18 a couple weeks ago. It cost me $5 to have them. You know, I got a pension. I got an annuity.
Yeah.
You know, I got vacation. You know, I can call up and say, hey, I'm taking 2 weeks off. I'm taking 6 weeks off. I'm taking 6 months off.
Yep.
And I'm gone.
Yep.
And I come back and I got a job and I got, you know, all my
benefits. Exactly what you had before you left. You don't have to renegotiate. You don't have to re-bargain. You don't have to do all this bullshit.
No. And every June we get a raise.
Yep.
So, no, I mean, you know, it's just. Let me touch on this before I forget. You know, the other thing I see, like, on, you know, people commenting and arguing pros and cons versus union, non-union, is these guys will say, oh, you know, it only cost me $15,000 to do this crane class, and they gave me my boom truck, sir, and this and that, blah, 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 blah. It's like, dude, you can go join the Operating Engineers Union, get paid on the job training, get paid to go to school, right?
Yep.
Learn all. They're paying you to learn all this. It's not costing you a dime. You can go out to Texas right now to our ranch, right?
Yeah.
Sign up for any course. It's paid for.
Yep.
It's done. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's like, if you can beat that, let me know.
Exactly. Yeah, I will sign up.
And it's just haters. They can't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's all propaganda bullshit.
Yeah.
But kind of on that note, Dan, man, it's just kind of wind down. You know what I mean? I want you to, you just, you know, working all day and shit. So. Kind of, we talked about it. Like, so what would you tell a kid, you know what I mean? A kid, you know, cause I'm going to put this up on Instagram, you know, build reels and stuff. What would you tell somebody who sees this, who may want to be an operator, man, that wants to run a tower crane? What would you say to that person?
First thing, I say the same thing to everybody. Join the union, start the apprenticeship, you know, even if, you know, you were doing this beforehand, let's say you're 30 years old and you want to get in. It's never too late. You know what I mean? I get a lot of guys ask me that. Is it too late? I've been doing that. Nah, man. But it helps if you do the apprenticeship, because you learn all those dumb questions you're afraid to ask.
Yep.
You know, I still got those dumb questions and I just ask them. Hey, I never, and you know, half the time I ask those dumb questions I've been afraid to ask. And the person I asked it to, who I thought would know everything, they don't know. You know what I mean? So it's just those dumb questions in the apprenticeship you learn. It gets your foot in the door. It doesn't, you know, tower cranes is hard because on the, you know, back east, New York, stuff like Chicago, they have operators and oilers on their tower cranes. Out here, we only have operators, right?
Yeah.
So it's really hard to, like, whereas you can go oil on a crawler or a big hydro, right?
Yeah.
And you're getting that, you're learning from the operator. Tower cranes, it's more of a niche, you know?
Gotcha.
And so it does help who you know, but at the same time, the union, if you go into the union and you're an apprentice and you say, hey, I want to run towers, that's what they're going to put you in. I mean, that's what they're going to steer you into and teach you. You know, everything's yeah. there for your taking. So that's, I think that's the number one thing I would say, join the union, start the apprenticeship. The other one is once you get in, keep your mouth shut and your ears open. Just learn. Don't bring your feelings to work because you won't make it long. You know, it's just listen to what you're told, do what you're told, ask questions, you know, and then, you know, after work, just, you know, get those good operators' numbers, you know, I mean, and you don't even have to do that. Like, the operator's going to know, you know, like when I was coming up, Bill Audrey, you know, that's your buddy now, you know, he's teaching, he's looking out for you, you know, it's a brotherhood. It is. It really is, you know, and like, there's guys, you know, me and Liam and Devin, I'm like in the middle. He's a little bit older. Devin's a little bit younger, but I can call those guys anytime I want and they'll help me out. Same. I wanted to touch on this with the ironworkers. You know, those ironworkers, when you're in the raising, you know, hanging iron with the raising gang.
Yeah.
You need any help with the crane. You need any, those guys will take, you know, they'll give you the shirt off their back.
Hell yeah.
It's just like, and you know, like I was scared when I first started hanging iron, you know, but honestly, they're the biggest sweeties there are out there. I mean, they're, you know, it's just, it's the best crew to work with.
Hell yeah. Well, with that being said, Dan, I want to appreciate your time, man.
Thanks for having me.
You getting out, man. I love it, man. And like I said, I love your Instagram page. Give your Instagram, wherever you're at, give a shout out to whatever social media you're at.
It's a hard name. Twisty Tower Crane. So everybody, it's Twisty.
And you're on Instagram, TikTok, everywhere?
Oh, pretty much, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's just for fun, you know. It's like if it gets somebody interested in the trades or, you know, a new viewpoint, or just, you know, something to look at, man. It's cool.
Oh yeah, it is, man. And with that being said, Dan, appreciate your time, brother, and be safe.
Hey, you too. Thank you for having me.
Hell yeah, brother. Talk to you later.
All right, bye.